How does the dwarf economy work in Middle-earth? Do they grow things underground or trade for everything? How do they even survive if they spend all their time mining? Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover the best in fantasy and science fiction books and TV shows. The Lord of the Rings, A Song of Ice and Fire, The Witcher, and so on. If you like the sound of that, welcome. The dwarves of Middle-earth seem to exist mostly underground, obsessed with mining, gold, craftsmanship and the like. We'd never read of them farming, growing crops or undertaking any other economic activities that might be useful in building their culture and civilization. So how did the dwarf economy work? You can't survive just on gold and jewels mined from underground. Were they a great trading nation or did they grow all their provisions underground? Well, let's start with the usual disclaimer. Tolkien doesn't go into technical details about economies and the like in his Legendarium. He was a philologist rather than an economist. But so great was his world-building that we can read between the lines and paint a picture of how the dwarvish culture survived and thrived all that time. And here we're obviously mostly talking about the dwarves we know the most about, Durin's folk in Khazad-dûm and latterly in Erebor and the like. Perhaps the dwarves in eastern Middle-earth established different systems, but we simply don't know enough about them to be sure. First, we should probably talk about food. Dwarves do need to eat. Indeed, based on the opening chapter of The Hobbit alone, it's fair to say that they need to eat a lot. So where does this food come from? Well, there is obviously some food to be found underground in Middle-earth. There are mushrooms aplenty, cave-dwelling creatures and underground lakes with fish. That's how Gollum survived under the Misty Mountains for so long. But surely that alone wouldn't be enough to keep the dwarven bellies full. And the hunter-gatherer lifestyle that would require of the dwarves is at odds with what we know of their actual lifestyle. The dwarves we meet in The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings aren't strangers to food and drink that has clearly been refined and delivered to its final home through a complex delivery and production process. I talked in a previous video, perhaps in far too much detail, about all the different processes needed for Bilbo to have a single pork pie in his larder. And the dwarves are definitely aware of pork pies, and wine, and beer, and jam, and honey cakes. So there's clearly more to the dwarven economy than just hand-to-mouth foraging in the dark. There are production and transportation systems involved here somehow. Do they do their own farming? Sunlight seems to be the biggest issue here. Crops and most animals we could name need sunshine to grow and thrive, and there's not much sunlight underground. Or is there? Taking Khazad-dûm as just one example, it seems that light was not the issue when it comes to farming. The underground city was certainly large enough for farms to be there. It stretched right across the breadth of the Misty Mountains over many levels, 40 miles east to west and 40 miles north to south on many levels. That's massive. And contrary to what you might think, it was bright inside, not dark and cave-like. The upper levels had skylights through which the sunlight poured, and lower levels were lit by thousands of shining lamps of crystal. We're told that as a whole it was full of light and splendour. Please abandon any mental images of Khazad-dûm being like it was when the Fellowship passed through Moria. This was a light, bright and vibrant place, so farms of almost any kind are theoretically possible. I said theoretically because we don't actually hear of any underground dwarven farms. That shouldn't surprise us too much. The mostly elf-written Silmarillion and the mostly hobbit-written The Hobbit and the Lord of the Rings are very lacking on details of dwarven culture for obvious reasons. Tolkien does not tell us anything near everything there is to know about how dwarves lived and thrived. They are always presented as somewhat of a mystery to the Valar, the elves, and pretty much everyone else. But the fact remains that although underground farms were certainly possible for the dwarves, and personally I suspect they will have had some form of autonomous food production in their largest settlements, we don't read of it anywhere. So farms and food production systems, underground or overground, appear not to have been a large part of their civilization. Instead, what does seem to have been a large part of their civilization is trade and specialization of labour. In The Peoples of Middle-earth, we read about the early days of contact between humans and dwarves. Men became the chief providers of food as herdsmen, shepherds, and land tillers, which the dwarves exchanged for work as builders, roadmakers, miners, and the makers of things of craft, from useful tools to weapons and arms, and many other things of great cost and skill. So the two races swiftly settled into patterns of specialization of labour. Humans farmed and sold or exchanged what they produced for dwarven produce like tools and weapons, and the dwarves also seemed to have sold their labour building things. That was way back in the early days, but it seems that this model of specialisation seems to have been the default for dwarves ever since. For example, when recalling the golden days of Erebor, Thorin Oakenshield recalled that they, humans, built the merry town of Dale there in those days. Kings used to send for our smiths and reward even the least skillful most richly. Fathers would beg us to take their sons as apprentices and pay us handsomely, especially in food supplies, which we never bothered to grow or find for ourselves. The dwarves got all the food they needed from trading with the human settlement outside Erebor, so they never bothered to grow or find any for themselves. Similarly, it would seem, the humans got all the quality smithing they needed from the dwarves. They tried to learn some skills by apprenticing their children to dwarven smiths, but were still willing to pay high prices for the best quality goods. This is revealing. Firstly, it implies that the dwarves cannily limited the supply of their most precious goods, keeping prices high. But most importantly, it shows that in at least this one area, the dwarf and human economies were interdependent. Two nations each producing what they are best at, relying on each other for the things they do not produce, and living harmoniously, knowing how much they depend on each other. When Smaug attacked the mountain, the people of Dale rallied to help. Years later, when Sauron's forces marched on the region, humans and dwarves fought side by side. Strong trading relationships do this. It makes potential enemies reliant on each other, and builds bonds of trust. The dwarves and humans relied on each other for different products, which brought peace between them, and then made them allies when a joint threat emerged. Tolkien didn't do allegory, but he understood how the world worked. Specialisation of labour is a key economic concept, even in Middle-earth. If you are good at producing something, like the dwarves were good at producing quality smithcraft, it benefits everyone if you can focus on that, not the thing you're not good at. You can then trade that for the thing that you aren't very good at, but someone else is, like the dwarves trading their smithing skills for food that the men of Dale were good at producing. Free trade in the things you are good at doing actually benefits everyone, as is free trade in the things someone else is good in. The dwarves made good and cheap swords and horseshoes and necklaces, and the humans made good and cheap food and drink, and surely some other things. And trading without barriers meant that everyone got good and cheap swords and horseshoes and necklaces and food and drink. So, clearly cognizant of this, even when homeless, the dwarves didn't think to settle down in a farmstead or found an above-ground settlement. They stuck to their strengths. The dwarves who escaped from the Lonely Mountain after Smaug's arrival always yearned to return to Erebor. And in Thorin's words to Bilbo, "We went away, and we have had to earn our livings as best we could up and down the lands, often sinking as low as blacksmith work or even coal mining." In other words, Thorin and company were artisans for hire, or occasionally just skilled labour for hire in Dunland and Ered Luin while they plotted their return to Erebor. They may not have had a permanent home, but they followed the exact same business model their forefathers had, trading their skills for food. And the dwarves didn't just do this with humans. There were many instances of dwarves trading their skills for coin or other payments with the elves as well. Just as one example, we read in the Silmarillion that in the First Age, the dwarves still came on their journeys into Beleriand from their mansions in Ered Lindon. They travelled the ancient road to Doriath, for their skill in the working of metal and stone was very great, and there was much need of their craft in the halls of Menigroth. But they came now no longer in small parties, as aforetime, but in great companies, and they dwelt in Menigroth at such times in chambers and smithies set apart for them. So, not only did the dwarves stop off with the elves on their journeys, but stayed for extended periods of time in great companies in chambers and smithies set apart for them, and they were paid for their work. This wasn't just occasional help for allies, but an important part of both of their economies. That particular arrangement in Menigroth ended rather abruptly and tragically, and soured relations between dwarves and elves for a long time. But the point remains that this is how the dwarves organised themselves. They didn't farm. That wasn't where their strength was. Instead, they traded their own skills and goods for whatever they needed. So in today's parlance, dwarves and humans, and dwarves and elves to a lesser extent, very swiftly created an interdependent trading relationship based on speciality of labour. Even a basic understanding of modern economics tells us that specialisation of labour and regulated and fair free trade can benefit everyone in the long run. The dwarves didn't need to waste time doing boring farming, and the humans got access to better quality tools, jewellery and so on. Everyone won. And this has the added benefit of tying peoples together, breaking down barriers. It's not a coincidence that the people of Dale fought alongside the dwarves in the War of the Ring as one army. They needed each other, and dealing with each other so regularly broke down barriers of suspicion between them. They were allies. Things didn't always work so well, of course, but the principle remains that dwarves always tried to set up positive trading relationships with their neighbours, if only because they needed food. We tend to think of dwarves as hiding away from the world, keeping themselves to themselves, absenting themselves from whatever troubled the above-ground folk. This is not the case. Almost wherever they went, the dwarves proactively sought out positive trading relations with whoever their neighbours were. These trading relations brought ties of trust and interdependence. Far from being independent and unfriendly to others, dwarven culture was almost 100% reliant on building positive relations with others and trading with them. Their economy relied on it, and their survival relied on it. If you'd like to see more Lord of the Rings videos, please click on the link on the left of your screen. Or if you'd like to support this channel, thank you. There's a link to my Patreon page on the right of your screen. That's all for this time. Thanks for watching. I'll see you again soon.